I'm reminded about the story or the analogy about what causes a ship or a boat to sink. Dis nie die water aan die buitekant van daai vessel wat maak dat hy sink nie. Dis wanneer die water wat aan die buitekant was, binne in die boot kom of binne in die skip kom, dan sink hy. And in preparation for today, I started meditating on Psalm 37, and toe vang ek nog 'n dop. On Psalm 37. And God started speaking to me so much about the land, and the promises.
The more I read it, I thought to myself, if there was nothing else of the Bible left but Psalm 37, my brothers and sisters, we have enough promises in that particular passage of Scripture to get us through the difficult times that we're facing. And I'm really encouraged and excited to share
what God showed me, specifically about the land and the soil and the role that His forgiveness in our lives plays and the promises that God makes. I've never seen this in the Word before, that when God makes a promise, we think of God's promises for the good. En is lekker so en het moet so wees en het is so. But He makes promises for the wicked as well. And it's so powerful to see this passage of Scripture. So this morning we're going to spend some time looking at Psalm 37, if that's okay with everybody. We never ever take for granted, Lord. Here, dis vir ons 'n voorreg. Ons neem dit nie vanselfsprekend. Laat ons in tye soos die op 'n Sondagoggend by mekaar te kan kom, om mekaar se teenwoordigheid te kan geniet en saam U woord te bespreek en die werking van die Heilige Gees te kan ervaar in ons midde en saam te kan sing in lofprysing en aanbidding vir die enigste lewendige God. Here, dis vir ons 'n voorreg. Daarom is daar, staan daar in die woord, behold how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together. Father, I want to thank you for today, the new gift of today, life again. I thank you for every precious person here in both buildings. I thank you for every precious person watching online at home and those that will watch later today on our online platform. We thank you that we can share your word today. And God, we rely so much on your presence. Father, there's nothing that I have to say. There's no preach that I can bring that can change a person's life. But one word from you can change us forever. Holy Spirit, speak to us. That's why we're here. We're not playing church. We want an encounter with the living God. Move in our midst, Lord God, and transform us forever. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, Amen. Hallelujah. Bless you. Like I said, this morning we're going to be looking at Psalm 37. Some powerful promises in this passage of Scripture. So we're going to see how far we get this morning. We're not going to rush through it. But we're most certainly going to get to where the Lord wants us to go this morning as we share this together. All right. There's many, many beautiful promises, so let's dive right in and see what God has in store for us. Reading from verse 1, Psalm 37, comes out of the New Living Translation. It says, don't worry about the wicked or envy those who do wrong. For like grass, they soon fade away. Like spring flowers, they soon wither. I started off by saying that this too is a promise for the wicked. God says, don't worry about the things that the wicked people are getting up to. They soon fade away. This is a promise that as a believer and somebody that people that we should be in a place of right standing with God, we can understand that God is going to take care of these people. You see, folks, there's many people that have already and will slip through the broken justice systems that we work with today. Is that not so? But nobody can ever outrun God's justice and God's faithfulness. And God promises here, they soon fade away. And then it goes on to say in verse 3, it says, trust in the Lord and do good. What God is doing here, he says, don't worry in verse 1. Verse 3, he says, trust in the Lord. God is teaching us where to focus. Don't worry about the evil. They soon fade away. Trust in the Lord and do good. He's teaching us where to focus, teaching us where our attention and our focus should be all the time. Daai voorbeeld wat ons gebruik het van die skip. COVID van die skip in die boot wat sink. It's not the water on the outside that's the problem. In fact, the rough seas and the storms and the wind, that's what keeps the boat afloat. Think about it. The boat floats on that. But when that starts getting on the inside of the boat, what's God saying here? When you, what you should be focusing on, don't let the things of the world, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things the scripture speaks of in Mark, how Jesus teaches how these things come in and trap and suffocate the word of God in our lives. Weet je wat mensen, God's woord is krachtig, nee? It's all powerful. You know the only thing that can render the word of God of no effect and no power in our lives is our tradition. Our tradition, when we hold stronger onto the traditions of God, it can render the word of God powerless. Imagine that. So don't let the things of the world come in and affect us from the inside out. So here we see that God is teaching us where to focus. The words trust and don't worry. Don't worry in verse 1 and trust in verse 3. Verse 3 goes on to say, trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live in safety. Yeah, you will live safely in the land and prosper. Now, so much has been said about prosperity teaching that it's all of the devil and God wants us to suckle and to... You know, folks, the problem with any kind of teaching is when we take a thing and make it the main thing. Where we take one specific thing of the word and focus everything all just on that. Right? If you don't believe that prosperity is for the children of God, then just why don't you just delete the whole book of Proverbs right out of the Bible? Because it speaks about faithfulness and wisdom, and when you get wisdom, how God will want you to prosper. 3 John 2 says, I pray that you prosper in all things. Now, that's in the New Testament. So do you know what all things means in the Greek? All things. Does that include finances? I pray that you prosper in all things and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So prosperity in the balanced, scriptural, godly sense of the word is a godly thing and something that God desires for his people. Can I get an amen? Don't feel bad about when God blesses you, but don't let that be the main thing where all you speak about is the prosperity. And it says here, then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Why? Because our currency is so strong in the world market. Because the interest rate is so favorable. Because the price of gold per ounce is so strong right now. That's why we're going to prosper. No. We're going to prosper because when you entrust that which God has entrusted to you back to Him, you subject yourself to the economy of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. We're going to prosper because of God's economy, His financial system. That's how it works. Normal math is 1 + 1 = But in the kingdom of God, it's not the people. You live us by onseker, ne? Is that a little bit too deep? By die wiskunde is bietjie te diep. 1 + 1 is. Yeah. But in God's economy, 1, that's you plus God, equals limitless. It's limitless. It's a different economy. That's why we're going to prosper. Prosper because of God's economy. Verse number 4. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you your heart's desires. What does it mean to take delight in the Lord? I don't believe there's anybody that grows up where you just have this sudden desire and love for the things of God. No. The scripture says in Philippians 2 and verse 13 that it is God who works in us both to will and to do according to your good pleasure. Psalm 65 says, blessed is the man whom you choose and cause to approach you. God draws us to himself. So the point I want to make with this verse is, let God develop in you a passion for him. You know, naturally speaking, human nature focuses on what? Self-preservation. Not doing unto others. Human nature focuses on self-preservation. The 3 most important people in my life, me, myself, and I. And once they're taken care of, hasta iets oor is, dan sal ek begin uitkyk vir my mede rondom my. Is dit nie so nie? No. Let God develop a passion for him inside of you. And says, take delight in the Lord. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Let him develop this passion in you. Verse number 5. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him and he will help you. And this popped out at me when I was reading. Commit everything to the Lord. Now, when we face a huge, huge, big crisis and a massive challenge that just overwhelms us, quickly we run to the Lord and want God to sort it out. Is it this or any? But what about the small things? You see, if I don't have faith to be able to go to somebody and say, silver and gold I do not have, but in the name of Jesus, get up and walk to the lame and the cripple. If I don't have faith, say, I get it, worth pain. You lay hands on yourself. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you touch my body, Lord. Lord, I receive the healing that you want me to. You see my body heal, Lord. Thank you that this headache goes in Jesus' name. Or is it the first thing? Is it the Adcodol, the Disprin, the go pain, slow pain, no pain, and all sorts of other pains, on a box net, on a price? It's all, yeah, ek weet nie wat nie. If you're not trusting God for the small things, how are you going to be able to say, get up and walk? So when it says, what does it say? Yeah, commit everything to the Lord. This is the point. Start small. Start small. I've used this analogy before. I can't just go and start benching 100 kilos. Heck, I don't think I'll ever bench 100 kilos. But you start off small. Small weights. Then you go to the bigger and the bigger. Start small. Dan wonder jy, hoekom sukkel jy om die Here te vertrou vir daai groot, massive goeders? Begin klein. Don't despise small beginnings. When it says, commit everything to the Lord. Trust God for the small things. And then he will help you. Number 6. And this is just blew me away. He will make your innocence. Everybody say innocence. For those folks watching at home, say innocence. Ons het julle nie gehoor nie. Bietjie harder. Innocence. Yeah, let the internet go wild. He will make your innocence radiate like the dawn, and the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday. Wie van ons kan sê, ons staan voor God onskuldig? Think about it. Ons kan nie, maar eintlik kan ons. Who of us can say, I stand before God innocent? We can't, but we can. Why can we? Because if you're in a place where you've received God's forgiveness for your life, you stand before God in a place of innocence. The word justified, when you've received the forgiveness of God, justified, just as if I'd never sinned. Isn't that beautiful? Now this is key, ladies and gentlemen, to receiving the promises of God. He will make your innocence, once you got that innocence, radiate like the dawn, and the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday sun. Forgiveness is crucial for the fulfillment of God's promises in your life. We've said this many times, and we cannot say it enough. God's love truly is unconditional. But his promises are conditional. You're trusting God to open the floodgates of heaven in your life. You're trusting God to have his supernatural peace. You're trusting God for wisdom and discernment. You're trusting God for supernatural favor. You're trusting God for the courage to get through difficult times when it seems as if your prayers aren't being. All of those things have requirements. And for God's promises to be fulfilled, innocence is required. And we get innocence. We can't stand before God innocent, but actually we can. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he took him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So folks, innocence is crucial for the fulfillment of God's promises in our lives. Verse number 7, be still. Be still in the presence of the Lord, and wait patiently for him to act. Don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes. Verse 7 says, be still and wait patiently. This means being calm in the midst of the storm. I want to tell you, we are experts at praying for the storms to end. I believe we said this a couple of sermons ago. I believe God wants us to learn to trust Him in the midst of a storm. To stick it out. Keep our shoulder against the wheel. Dig your heels in. It's like tug of war. The devil will your dike unto track. The other will your dick unto track. And sometimes we just want to like lean that way and let Him like run on with us. No. Dig your heels in. That's what it means. Be still and wait patiently. Vertrou die Here in die midde van die storm. It's only in the storm that He could wake up from His slumber and say, peace, be still. Speak to the waves and the water. It's in the storm that He came walking on the water towards the disciples when they were fearing for their lives. So it says, peace, be still. And then that verse also says this, worry and wicked schemes. It says, don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes. Those things are the things that make and sell the news. Think about that. They make and sell the news. I don't often watch the news, but remember the times that I used to. I think these are the days when gay still meant happy and grass was something that you sat on. You'd watch the news and there'd be half an hour, 20-something minutes of all the bad stuff, and then it ended with something humorous or something light-hearted at the end. Why doesn't good news make the news? Why isn't there like a breakthrough and good things on the front page of daily newspapers? Why do you always just see the bad news? Well, these wicked schemes, that's what makes and sells news. Remember that. So that's what is going to be happening. These are the things that are going to make and sell the news, the wicked schemes of the evil. Verse number 8. And Gideon, nou onlangs sukkel ek hiermee, and that's why I believe that God made this jump out to me, because I'm preaching to myself here this morning. Stop being angry and turn from your rage. Yo, sometimes I get so angry, I can rip a tissue in half. Net so. I can take a grape and I can just crush it. That's how angry I get. This kwaad, julle. You know, and I comfort myself like I try and outsmart God, I quote Psalm 4:4 and says, in your anger do not sin. So you can be angry as long as you don't sin. But then there's a scripture that says, anger doesn't produce the righteousness of God. So, and I let the things of the world, I let the stupid decisions that leaders make, I let it get to me. And I hear people say things like, during load shedding, leave the lights on for safety. Waar sy tissue? Laat ek hy tissue nou skeer. Leave the lights on during load shedding. Really? Dan word ek kwaad. And you know what I'm doing? I'm letting the water get on the inside of my boat. And then the Holy Spirit, just being gentle, just goes further and further and further in the background while I'm just letting this rage and this anger build up. And I realize, hey, son, you have a role to play in bringing about peace. You have a role to play. How dare I stand in front of people and speak about peace when there's war raging on the inside here? You know what I am? A clanging cymbal and a sounding brass. Yada, 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 wara, 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 wara. Got to have that peace on the inside. Mense, ek weet nie hoe om dit te doen nie. Ek het nie die antwoorde nie. Ek moet voor die Here kom soos in die vorige vers. Be still. Wait patiently for Him to settle issues inside of my heart. That's what I need to do. Verse 8, stop being angry and turn from your rage. Do not lose your temper. It only leads to harm. Vraag vir Colette, ek kan 'n ding gooi hoor. Gooi 'n ding in rage. Nee. We have a role to play in bringing about peace. Verse number 9, for the wicked will be destroyed, but those who trust in the Lord will possess the land. That phrase, will possess the land. And God started speaking to me about the land. We're going to get to some verses. We're going to just look at that a little bit longer, just visit and unpack stuff about the land. It says, they will possess the land. Well, Here, wanneer gaan dit gebeur? And this came up in my spirit. When we found faithful, when we are found faithful, we entrusted stewards of what God has given to us, will we possess land and have authority over the land. Will it come to pass in this lifetime here? Hopefully. But certainly one day when heaven comes down to earth, we have a new heaven and a new earth, and God establishes his city here on earth again. Most certainly, when we're found to be faithful, we will possess the land. Verse 10, soon the wicked will disappear. Though you look for them, they will be gone. The lowly will possess the land and will live in peace and prosperity. Variance. If you can't deal with that, you're going to have to do something and get some other Bible that doesn't feature this phenomenon of prosperity. Soon the wicked will disappear. And then verse 11, the lowly will possess the land and will live in peace and prosperity. Once again, God's promise of safety and abundance. God promises us safety and abundance. Verse 12, the wicked plot against the godly. They snarl at them in defiance. The plotting says this to me. The schemes and the business of the wicked will continue. Will continue. Scripture goes on to say in 1 Peter verse 5 that 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7 or 8 there or thereabouts that your enemy, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. First of all, he's like a roaring lion. He's not really a roaring lion. Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah, Revelation chapter 5 and verse 5. He walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. In other words, he would cake. Who must he look out for? Those who have no faith, those who are in a place of compromise in terms of their walk with God. That's the only time the devil has right of access into our lives. When there's deliberate, willful, continuous, repetitive sin in our lives, when there's compromise, then the devil has access to our lives. Pynt gaan afgeklap word, man. Klap sy pynt af. God will sort him out. That's what's going to happen. All right. So the plotting of the wicked will continue. It's going to continue. It's going to continue. It's not going to stop. It's going to continue. We need to stand our ground. Exciting. We can read to the end of the Bible and we'll see in the end we win. Hallelujah. We win in the end. It says there, God just laughs because he sees their day of judgment coming. He sees their day of judgment coming. Verse 14. The wicked draw their swords and string their bows to kill the poor and oppressed and to slaughter those who do right. But their swords will stab their own hearts and their bows will be broken. This came out at me reading it. God will have his vengeance. The scripture says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. We want to take revenge. I mean, there's so many movies about revenge. And we get knackered when the bad guys get revenge taken on them. Yeah, God teaches us that he will have his vengeance. God will have his vengeance. Verse 16. It's better to be godly and have little than to be evil and rich. For the strength of the wicked will be shattered, but the Lord takes care of the godly. Day by day, the Lord takes care of the innocent. There's that word innocence again. And they will receive an inheritance that lasts forever. That word innocent is significant again because that's when we release the promises of God in our lives. Otherwise, we subject ourselves to the enemy. We spoke about that a few minutes ago. When there's compromise in our life, the
devil has a right of access to come and steal and mess our lives up. We subject ourselves to the enemy. Proverbs 19 and verse 3, it says, people make decisions, live their own way, and they're not angry at the Lord because of their stupid decisions. Sometimes we blame the devil and he's busy bothering some other people. He's nie naby jou nie. Jy dan droog gemaak. Niks met hom uit te waai nie. Verse 19. They will be disgraced in hard times. Even in famine, they will not be disgraced in hard times. Speaking about the innocent again. They will not be disgraced in hard times. Even in famine, they will have more than enough. How is that even possible? Once again, it's because we're subject to the economy of the kingdom of heaven. Even in famine, they will have more than enough. How do you do that? Well, the first thing you have to do, my brother, my sister, make sure that you're returning God to God what belongs to Him. You're all bent out of shape that people in the government and thieves are stealing from you? Well, I'm going to say it as lovingly as I can.
Stop stealing from God. That's it. Stop stealing from God and you'll stop the devil stealing from you. And if somehow the devil gets it right, you'll see the supernatural restoration that God will bring in your life. That is why you will have plenty, even in famine. It says you'll have more than enough. In other words, you can be a blessing to other people. Stop stealing from God. He'll stop the devil stealing from you. Can I get an amen? This speaks of God's supernatural provision. It's not subject to scarcity. It's not subject to lack. There's no lack of any good thing. Psalm 84 and verse 11. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. No good thing. So, sê nog nie die bike of wat hy ewig gekry het nie, miskien dink jy dit is nie 'n goeie bike vir jou nie. Dit iets anders gekry, of die boot, of die huis, of die girlfriend, boyfriend, or whatever it is. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. Verse 20. But the wicked will die. We all die. But the wicked will die. But if you die in the Lord, you actually live forever. The Lord's enemies are like flowers in a field. They will disappear like smoke. Verse 21. The wicked borrow and never repay, but the godly are generous givers. Those the Lord blesses will possess the land, but those He curses will die. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives, even the small things. I love that. Every detail. Verse 24. Though they stumble, this is the godly, the one where God delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, dis die wat gaan struikel, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. That stumbling means, mense, ons gaan sukkel. We are going to have struggles. It says, not if they stumble, though they stumble, when they stumble. We're going to have difficulties. People say that Africa is nie vir sissies nie. Christianity is not for sissies. We're going to have struggles. Doesn't mean give your life to Jesus and all you're going to have is moonshine or sunshine and roses, not moonshine. It means something completely different. Moonshine, yay! Kikik, moonshine. Sunshine and roses, not going to be sunshine and roses. There are times when the cross gets heavy. Verse 25. Once I was young and now other people are old. Once I was young and now I'm old. Yet I've never seen the godly abandoned or their children begging bread. What does this say? Once I was young and now I'm old. Reflecting on your life. Looking back and reminding yourself of the goodness that God has shown in the past. Looking back and reflecting on God's past goodness. Remind yourself, die Here daar vir my deurgekom, daar vir my deurgekom. I believe there are many times, if we one day get to see it, we'll see the times that God saved our butts and we didn't even know it. He saved our lives and we didn't even know it. We just go plain sailing, getting along. Yeah. Look back on God's goodness in the past. Verse 26. The godly always gives generous loans to others and their children are a blessing. Turn from evil and do good. and you will live in the land forever. For the Lord loves justice, and he will never abandon the godly. He will keep them safe forever, but the children of the wicked will die. It says, God will never abandon us. What does that mean? God won't abandon us, even if it feels like he has. Let's face it, I don't believe there's any Christian that's walked a walk with God long enough that has not at least once op 'n punt bereik, punt gekom in 'n lewens waar hulle voel, die Here het my verlaat, hoor, ek's nou alleen in hierdie ding. Hoekom het ek hiermee begin in die eerste plek? I think we all get to the place where we feel that sense of abandonment. We all need to get to that place. Jesus experienced it in the Garden of Gethsemane. His best buddies promised, Jesus, we're going to stick with you to the end, eh? Especially the other disciples might leave you, Jesus, but me, Peter, I'm going to be with you till the end. What happened in the end? Denied him three times before the cock crowed. And Jesus was on his own. He asked him to stay, just stay with me and just pray with me. There are a couple of doors in the garden. When he needed the most, Jesus experienced his Gethsemane. We have to experience our own personal Gethsemane. God will not abandon you even if it feels like he has. Verse 29, the godly will possess the land, and this is where it popped out to me about the land. Speaks about it so much in the psalm. The godly will possess the land and will live there forever. Here's the thing about the land. God showed me this. Sometimes there's unuseful topsoil that needs to be removed before you can get to use the useful ground underneath. Sometimes there's rubbish and rubble on the top that needs to be cleared out of the way. When they build a building, they can't just start building on whatever's there. The ground has to be leveled. It needs to be cleared. The prospectors come out and they take all sorts of measurements. They need to make sure that it's a strong enough foundation that gets prepared. And I think maybe God is busy with that in South Africa at this time. There's stuff that needs to be taken out of the way. Stuff in our lives as these God-fearing people that also need to be taken out of the way, sorted out in our lives before God can continue his building process. Verse 30, the godly offer good counsel. They teach right from wrong. What's the point here? Teach and help where you can. Some people think I'm the best thing since sliced bread. Some people, if they never see me again, it will be too soon. That's just how it is. That's just how it is. Teach and help where you can. God himself walked this earth. Not everybody received what he had to say, and he's God. You think Jesus was, my heart is here. Me, I'm all like my knee. Not everybody likes my teaching. They're not all excited about my sermons. Some will, some won't. So what? Next. Keep on keeping on. So, when it says the godly offer good counsel, they teach right from wrong. Teach and help where you can. Let's move on. 31. They have made God's law their own, so they will never slip from his path. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the key to longevity. This is the key to making it to the end. Making God's law your own. Delighting yourself in the word of God. Fill yourself with the word of God. This is key to longevity. It is key to lasting long and standing the test of time longer than Charles Glass ever did. Filling your lives with the word of God. It's not how we start that counts, but how we finish. It's how we finish. What does it help? I'm standing on the starting line and ek breek weg and ek trek 15 meter voor die ander. And then all of a sudden there's something going on in the grandstand and I'm like, hey, how's it, julle, hoe gaan dit? And al die ander atlete kom verby my. En dan skrik ek wakker, oh yeah, I'm actually in a race called life. And then they're really handing out the medals and celebrating and they finished and then I come over the line because I got distracted by something that's happening in the grandstands. It's not how we start that counts, but how we finish. Tell me, your level of excitement and hunger and thirst for the things of God, how does it compare to how you were when you first gave your life to the Lord? Maybe it's a little bit, maybe you've cooled down a little bit. I want to give you, don't ever forget this, a definition for backslidden. Bietjie van 'n harde pil om te sluk, maar dis die waarheid, né? If there was ever a time in your life where you were more excited on fire for God than you are now, you're backslidden. But that's okay. The Bible says God is married to the backslider. So stop sliding back. Get in the race again. Can you say amen? All right. All right, we're almost done. Just a couple of verses and then we're done. Verse 32. The wicked wait in ambush for the godly, looking for an excuse to kill them. But the Lord will not let the wicked succeed, or let the godly be condemned when they are put on trial. When they are put on trial. You're going to have to be put on trial for making a godly stand. Put your hope in the Lord. Travel steadily along his path. He will honor you by giving you the land. You will see the wicked destroyed. Verse 35. I've seen the wicked and ruthless people flourishing like a tree in its native soil. But when I looked again, they were gone. What do we get from this? Sometimes it appears as if, yes, man, all you have to do just to have a lack of life is just to maak droog. Because nothing bad happens to hierdie mense. Hulle gaan maar net aan en ek sukkel so. Ek wil die Here volg en ek sukkel. It says, I see it looks like they're prospering and flourishing in the land where they are. The scripture says, I looked again and they were gone and I couldn't even see them. When I looked again, they were gone. I searched for them, but I could not find them. What's the point of this? Whether good or evil, we are going to reap what we have sown. We are going to reap what we have sown. Verse 37. Look at those who are honest and good. For a wonderful future awaits those who love peace. But the rebellious will be destroyed. They have no future. That's verse 37 and verse 38. This stuff about the future, brothers and sisters, the future really, really is in God's hands. Your future is in God's hands. Please don't try and take it back. We give our issues to God, say, God, please fix this. I can't. It's too big for me. God starts working, and then you take it away to help God out. Nee, los het daarso, by die Here. Laat hy dit klaar maak. His purposes, his timing, and his processes. Verse 39, the Lord rescues the godly. He's their fortress in times of trouble. And verse 40, the Lord helps them, rescuing them from the wicked. He saves them, and they find shelter in him. I trust that that passage of Scripture has encouraged you as much as what it has done to me. I want to summarize by saying this again. It speaks about the land, the land, the land, the land. It speaks about innocence and innocence and innocence. And it speaks about the fact that the wicked is still going to plot. So how can we summarize this? The evil schemes are going to continue. Make sure that we're in a place of right standing with God, because innocence is key to the fulfillment of God's promises. And then the land. We're going to be entrusted with the land. And the land is cleared and sorted and prepped. And when we're found to be faithful stewards, God's going to entrust us with that which He's always destined for us to have and inherit. May Almighty God bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up His countenance over you and give you His supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. Thank you for making the time to come to church today. Celebrate God's goodness with us. Thank you for making the time for leaning forward and receiving the word of God that He has for you.